in high school Chinese class, when I was 14, I asked the two students in front of me, one of them had just come over from China and one of them had just come over from Taiwan, and asked them like, hey, what kind of music are you listening to? Do you have any CDs to share? Yes, CDs. I said CDs. They were like, oh yeah, we have some stuff at home. And so the next day they brought in, one of them gave me a CD of SHE and the other one gave me a CD of Jay Chou. So that would be kind of the equivalent of, you know, hey, what English music are you listening to? And they come back the next day with like the Spice Girls and Linkin Park.
Hello and welcome to Getting Pacific, where we get specific on trending topics straight from the newsroom at Taiwan Plus. I'm Joey Chow.
And I'm Trevor Tortomasi.
And for this episode of Getting Pacific, we're talking about music and its close ties with the language that it's performed in.
Yeah, Chinese language music is enjoying increasing presence around the world. There's a lot to be said for how we as people react to and enjoy music in languages that we don't understand. But first, let's zoom in on Taiwan's music industry.
Mandopop, or pop music in Mandarin, has been enjoying renewed popularity since China's rise on the global stage. Just last year, king of Mandopop, Jay Chou, outsold K-pop sensation BTS with the best-selling album in the entire world. But despite the upward trend, Mandarin songs no longer dominate Golden Melody Awards in Taiwan. The shape of Taiwan's music scene is in transformation.
Yep, right now Taiwan's music industry is transforming, and arguably in a more diverse and inclusive direction. We'll discover more of that later. But like you heard in that piece, out of all the best-selling albums in the world by the end of 2022, Jay Chou, the pride and joy and the son of Taiwan. Jay is a homegrown Taiwanese singer-songwriter, producer, actor, and entrepreneur, has made history as the first Mandopop star to enter the IFPI 2022 Global Album Sales Chart. And just in case you're wondering, IFPI is the International Federation of the Phonographic Industry, and he entered at first place. So if you go to the IFPI homepage, you can still see Jay's picture at the top, albeit the chart is now led by Taylor Swift, who Jay actually bested in 2022, along with the South Korean pop group BTS.
And last year, 4 out of 10 of the top musical acts were Korean pop music or K-pop. And the year before, 2022, 8 of them were from K-pop. So there is a clear domination from the K-pop industry. So yeah, BTS is awesome. But given that we are living in Taiwan, which is still considered the capital of Mandopop music, how is Mandopop faring on the world stage? Well, first of all, Spotify reports that the Mandopop category has generated more than 500 million monthly streams in Taiwan alone. That's an increase of nearly 45% compared to the year before.
Yeah, so it's definitely alive and well here in Taiwan. And today we're going to talk about what does the world think of it. But coming back to Jay, do you remember in the Green Hornet movie? He was in that movie, right?
Yeah, sidekick to Seth Rogen's character, which was a bit of a goofier casting choice.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. And Jay Chou didn't talk much, but I feel like it was funny. Most of my American friends were seeing him for the first time, didn't know who he was, but I saw him on screen in an American movie, and I remember thinking like, whoa, this is cool. This is like part of Taiwan going global. My first experience in high school Chinese class, when I was 14, I asked the two students in front of me, one of them had just come over from China and one of them had just come over from Taiwan, and asked them like, hey, what kind of music are you listening to? Do you have any CDs to share? Yes, CDs. I said,
gosh.
CDs. They were like, oh yeah, we have some stuff at home. And so the next day they brought in, one of them gave me a CD of SHE and the other one gave me a CD of Jay Chou. So that would be kind of the equivalent of, hey, what English music are you listening to? And they come back the next day with like the Spice Girls and Linkin Park.
Yeah, that's pretty much the equivalent.
That's how crazy famous they are.
If you talk about like Western pop music, the king of pop is definitely Michael Jackson, right? While the king of Mandopop is definitely Jay Chou. But in any case, I think we should really explain what Mandopop is now that we've said the term so many times. So Mandopop, as you can probably extrapolate, it's short for Mandarin popular music. It refers to pop music sung in Mandarin Chinese, and it most definitely originated from here in Taiwan during the 1970s. It quickly spread to other Chinese-speaking regions such as mainland China. And if you're wondering why did Mandopop not start in China, well, it sort of had something to do with the cultural atmosphere at the time, but it certainly did spread to China after Deng Xiaoping's Chinese economic reform in the late 70s. It also spread to Singapore and Hong Kong.
And though Hong Kong also has its own very unique sect of pop music, the Cantopop, that's Cantonese popular music, both encompass a wide range of musical styles, including pop and rock, ballads, hip-hop, R&B, and everything else. And both have artists from diverse backgrounds who have contributed to popular music across Asia and often find themselves on the stages of Taiwan's Golden Melody Awards, the crown jewel of the music awards in the Chinese music communities from its inauguration in 1990 to probably even now.
Yeah, I would say. Of all the big annual musical award events, most of them actually happen in the first half of the year. So in February, the Grammys, March, the Brit Awards, and then in case anybody cares, April or late March, the Juno Awards, that's the Canadian Grammys. Now, the Golden Melody Awards usually kicks off in late June. And I know a lot of people are wondering if people still care for these music awards. And certainly there is a trend of the control of music popularity to become more decentralized in the hands of streaming services like iTunes, Spotify, KKBOX, in the case of Asia, or TikTok. But at the 66th Grammys, Nielsen Media Research reported a hefty 17 million viewers tuned in to watch it live on CBS. Comparatively, this was more than 30% above the 12 million viewers from just a year ago. And Taiwan's Grammy, the GMA Golden Melody Awards, is also getting bigger and better. Just last year, we reported 15 million viewers who watched it on TV. And of course, there are also some streaming media services in Taiwan.
And so that's why many concert presenters and event organizers still consider Taiwan the capital of mandopop music. And we're going to hear from one such organizer today. However, there has been a drastic change in Taiwan's pop music scene. The GMA no longer celebrates mandopop alone. Rather, it's now become much more diverse and inclusive.
Yeah, that's right. The Taiwan Television, the TTV, which is responsible for production and broadcasting, states that the average highest viewership during last year's GMA was when this Taiwanese artist, Eno Chen, received her award, and she sings in her native tongue of Hokkien, or Taiwanese. So, Trevor, this is time for a little quiz. How long have you been in Taiwan, by the way?
It's been about 15 years.
Okay, so I'm going to play for you a few songs that are performed in the most common languages or local dialects here in Taiwan, and you tell me what languages they're possibly in. So let's listen to the first one. Okay, so Trevor, do you want to guess what dialect or what language that one is in?
Is that Taiwanese?
That is ding, ding, ding. Yes, Taiwanese. Very good.
Okay.
Were you breaking a sweat just now?
No, I just didn't want to get... Oh, yeah, I was breaking a sweat. I really don't want to get any of these wrong and accidentally offend someone. And Taiwanese is also known as Hokkien, which is spoken widely in, you know, similar dialects, not only in Taiwan, but also in Malaysia and Singapore. So, like, tons of people. There's a huge market outside of Taiwan for this music as well.
That's right, yeah. All right, so the second quiz is... Okay, this one is a little harder, but you want to go ahead and guess it? What dialect, what language it's in?
Okay, so that was Hakka?
It's not Hakka. It's actually one of the 16 indigenous languages in Taiwan.
Wow, that is awesome.
Yeah, that was A Bao, who won the Golden Melody Awards in 2022, Song of the Year, with that one, a song called Thank You. And the song prior to that, I should probably mention, is the Golden Melody Award winner of Song of the Year in 2018. Okay, this next one is the winner for 2022. Okay, I want to take a guess what language that is? It's actually a trick question.
It's not Mandarin.
It's not Mandarin. It's actually still Taiwanese.
Okay.
Band called Eggplant Egg.
I love the name of some of these bands too.
Yes, as you mentioned, there's another major Chinese language group, Hakka. It hasn't won the Golden Melody Award for Song of the Year yet, but that may have to do with the folk-focused genre that Hakka music tend to be in. That's starting to change, though. Out of 9 big Hakka albums last year that were nominated, they occupy across 19 different categories. So I think it's fair to say that the GMA is really driving the language diversity of the music scene here in Taiwan. Oh, and just in case you're curious, this is the winner of last year's 2023 Golden Melody Award Song of the Year, the song that bested Jay Chou's greatest work of art.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is Mandarin Chinese, and we haven't included it in any of our other quiz questions. It's from Anpu. It's called A Flash and How It Lasts. You might find it surprising that this acoustic ditty somehow beat Jay Chou's smash hit, literally titled Greatest Work of Art. And we did start this episode by saying that it was the best-selling album in the world in 2022, right? Actually, how about let's give that one a listen? This is Jay Chou's Greatest Work of Art.
I feel like before Jay Chou, I didn't hear as much ballads. And that's still pop, right? But like a lot of stuff was like very ballady. And when I heard Jay Chou, that was the first time I'd heard rock and beats really prominent in like that level of fame. Is that a thing or is that only my observation?
No, I think it, for that genre of music, which I would argue hasn't been coined until Jay showed up, because it's a combination of, like you said, ballad, but also like it has spoken verses, which I would say you could probably categorize as a hip hop a little bit, but it also has rock elements in it. So it's a very interesting fusion of all three of those categories, which means that Jay also personifies the character from all these three different, like he acts and dresses like a rapper, and sometimes he feels like he is a rock star, but sometimes he's just, you know, like downright singing ballads.
Yeah, I feel like he kind of got to the level of fame where he was one of the first people who could just literally do whatever he wanted and no one could tell him no.
Yeah.
Which is kind of an advantage in a creative sense, because you're not at the whim of your producers as much.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So apparently the reason that Jay didn't win last year and instead this acoustic piece won, at least according to the Golden Melody Award panel, is that Anpu's song won because it carried, quote, observation of significance to the current era or social trends, unquote. Now, this song is about reflection of the hopes and dreams that Anpu pursued at a younger age in her career as a teenager, and a sort of a coming to terms with the life that she now leads. So the GMA panel states that coming out of Taiwan's COVID-19 struggle, as this song was dropped, people needed answers to questions about their lives, and Anpu's music is just music that's more relevant to the time.
Yeah, and that's really cool because the panel doesn't hand out awards based on who sold the most albums. If that were the case, then Jay Chou probably would still win every year. But this way, Taiwan's music industry celebrates the less popular voices that also need to be heard, which is why a lot of independent music promoters from around the world have found a home here in Taiwan. So, Joey, you spoke with one of them?
Yeah, they're called the SWACT, or SWACT. That's the Society of We Are Canadians Too. Their main mission is to shine a light on BIPOC representation in music in Canada. BIPOC, by the way, means Black, Indigenous, and Other People of Color. So I asked their general manager, Charlie Wu, about their commitments.
The Society of We Are Canadians Too, the purpose is to enhance public's appreciation of arts and culture. However, we have placed a strong emphasis on elevating the underrepresented artists and communities. And J Music is another event that we started about 2 years ago. It's to elevate the underrepresented language music in Canada. And so we start with Chinese language music, but it's also based on a report done by Canadian Life Music Association. The BIPOC community music is actually underrepresented in the Canadian Life Music. Because of that report, it actually made me to reflect on the reality of our own past. You know, we have toured a lot of musicians from Asia, from Taiwan, but in reality, they don't actually connect with the music industry in Canada. You know, they tour, they show up, and they're gone. But there's actually an audience that's looking for Chinese language music from the region. We do try to use Asian Canadians as a base, but we do outreach to different communities, as you know, especially Indigenous communities. There's various different communities that we try to engage, but the Asian communities are our base. So one of our dreams is maybe one day when you turn on the radio in Canada, it's not going to be a strange thing to hear Chinese language music in the radio, right? You don't need to go to a Chinese radio station. You actually can hear in the mainstream radio stations.
So Charlie mentioned Jade Music Festival, which is, by the way, an event that is happening in Taipei in late April 2024. And they ask artists who like to tell their stories and perform their music in Mandarin Chinese. And many of these are CBCs or CBTs, you know, Canadian-born Taiwanese or Canadian-born Chinese, who may not be fluent, but this is a place where they can, you know, feel comfortable singing in their mother tongue.
Yeah, and that's awesome. I mean, I remember the first time I took those two CDs home and played them on my big old boombox at home, and my parents were like, what are you listening to? Not in like a judgy way, but just sort of like, how did you find this? Where did this come from? And that was like a really wholesome experience, a learning experience, I suppose, for my parents. So I'd like to see that happen on a wider scale too. Just like you said, like turning on the radio and not being surprised that you hear something in Chinese. And I think that's really cool.
Yeah, I think if you're in, say, world music, people talk about world music as if like it's meant to be enjoyed but not meant to stay, you know. So like you invite world music artists to your country and they perform and they sort of just go home. Like they usually don't cross-pollinate, and let alone like actually find a place in pop music in the country that they visit.
Yeah, and another thing is the memorability from like a native English speaking person's experience of a new name from another culture and something like that. There's obviously an unfair bias toward, like, if this dude's name is John, he's going to get a lot more people downloading his stuff on Spotify than if their name is like, you know, like Zhou Jielun or something. Then how do I type that? Or, oh, I forgot it. You know, so finding ways around that and still advertising this kind of music is a really healthy thing to try to do.
That's true. I never thought about that. The same would go for, like, say, if you find an artist whose name is in Arabic or Russian. Like, there's just no way for you to even search for it because you don't even know how to read the characters.
Yeah, that is a huge thing.
Okay, well, so we asked Charlie, why is it important to celebrate Mandarin Chinese language music?
In a diverse country like Canada, you know, where about 25% of existing population were born outside of Canada, you obviously have a lot of diversity. But these diversities disappearing every day because newcomers and their kids come in, they try to fit in, so they started to remove their own language from their everyday life. And so the language aspect of their culture is disappearing. In order for cultures to be complete, you can't really do it without language. Taiwan has an audience that's curious, adventurous, and also appreciates great artists. And Taiwan also has a great environment for artists to create and express without boundaries, without limitations. Like I said, language is actually been missing, disappearing. Many artists that we're presenting are actually not as fluent as they wanted to be. And so there's a fear for them to actually express in Mandarin or in other Chinese language. But, you know, having an environment like Taiwan would actually help them to build that confidence and to perform together with other fellow musicians with the same type of passion or challenges. You know, it's also another way to build that capacity. It is very difficult to do that in a other music festival in Canada because, you know, the environment isn't necessarily ready and the audience isn't necessarily expecting. So that's why it's important to have a focus on language, and that's what J Music is.
Yeah, it's a slow burn to sort of get whole new generations into like something as different as another language, to get people to enjoy media in a way that they're not usually comfortable with or not familiar with, rather. But I'm glad they're starting it now.
Yeah, which is why K-pop, for the popularity that it's received over the last just few years, is quite amazing at what they do. I don't know if you follow Trevor Noah, Trevor?
I do, yeah. He's one of my favorite Trevors.
Yeah, definitely. You're my second favorite.
Oh, thanks, man.
Well, he used to be the host of Tonight's Show, right?
The Daily Show.
The Daily Show, right. And he recently hosted the Grammys. And I remember him saying one time that for anyone who speaks multiple languages, they would know that when you speak different languages, you portray them in different personality as well, because you may have learned a language in a different time in your life, so that when you speak it, it actually reflects a different side of you or a different era of you, which is when you learned that language. And I don't know if you feel this way, but Charlie just mentioned that a lot of these artists, they're a little timid about singing in their mother tongue because maybe when they learned it, they were really small. They haven't fully formed their personalities. That like it needs some sort of company to be comfortable to bring out that side of them. Does that make any sense?
That does make sense. Well, when I speak Mandarin Chinese, that is actually when I feel like a child. So I guess in that sense, that's how I can relate to that.
Okay. So, well, what have we learned today?
We learned that Taiwan's music industry is in transformation. There are a lot of singers who have kind of been at the top and kind of still hanging around the top, like Jay Chou, for decades, really. But there are other artists that are getting their voices in there too.
Yeah, especially those who speak a different language, different dialects. They're all having a chance to shine, and some of them even actually winning awards at Taiwan's Golden Melody Awards.
We also mentioned a bit about the different music awards and how many of them there are all over the world, but especially the ones that are looking at Chinese language music.
Yeah, and we mentioned the importance of keeping and celebrating Chinese language music, or really any language music, because language is very much connected to a culture. You cannot appreciate a culture without the language.
Yeah, and especially when you don't know how to type in the name of an artist, maybe this is the age of Shazam, kind of helping people out with what people used to call world music and what we can hopefully just call music.
Yeah, it's a good point, actually. In the age where I think you can actually hum into Google and it will find that song for you, it's much easier to find the artist that you like.
I've tried humming into Shazam. It doesn't work. It doesn't work yet.
I think you have to be pitch perfect for that.
Right, exactly. So that's our show for today. If you like podcasts, I hope you do. Taiwan Plus has more in store, like the Ripple Effect podcast and Innovative Minds. You can find everything on our website, taiwanplus.com. You can also search Taiwan Plus News on YouTube for interview shows like Zoom In, Zoom Out, or keep up with the news and views from Taiwan and around the world on our Instagram and Twitter. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll join us again on Getting Pacific.